Today on Real Radio.
A lot of people will say, well, you know, religion's dangerous because it's caused so many wars in the world. Well, let's narrow that down. True biblical Christians, I would argue the opposite with that. But have there been wars in the name of religion? Not only is it true, it's happening right now, right under our nose, mind you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a passage in chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, where Paul uses the term reconcile four times. That is, if we are born from above, we have a new life, a reconciliation with our Creator. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson simply called Get a Life.
Get a Life. If you Google Get a Life, because I did that, did you know that Oprah Winfrey has 5 steps on how to get a life? I learned that this week. Did you know that William Shatner, you know, Captain Kirk, Star Trek? Did you know that he wrote a book? I didn't know that, but he wrote a book, and in this particular book, he told the Trekkies or Trackies? Trekkies. Super Star Trek followers who dress up with the clothes and assume names of characters, and their house is full of memorabilia of Star Trek. You know what Captain Kirk said to them? Yeah, he said, get a life. It's a show, he said, for crying out loud. Move on. I thought that was great. Did you know last week in Toronto, Canada, they're having a spree of robberies on the eastern coast of Toronto, down by the wharf area, a lot of robberies. And in a Canadian newspaper, it was reported that the officers were putting this young man who had been caught in the very act of a robbery. He was arrested. He was put into the police officer's car, and the officer reported that the young man had said, I've got to get a life. That's kind of a sad utterance, but maybe he's at the point now, this weekend, maybe this weekend he's in church right now. I don't know. But I want to ask you, do you have a life for real? Do you have a life? Do you have a life that is a life that is challenging to you? I'm not talking about paying the bills. I'm not talking about coping with relatives. I'm talking about a life that is challenging to you in the sense that it is so beyond you in purpose and in meaning that it's rather terrifying in a good way. If you follow Jesus Christ, life's going to be like that. It's going to be terrifying in a good way. God will take your life and what has been instilled into your life, and he will take you and use you in avenues, platforms, and in arenas that you never would have been able to acquire for yourself or achieve for yourself. God will take you and use you. And as we look at our study today, and really part one of our study, I want you to keep in mind that right now, the world, media, college, university, school is all about you. They say anyway, getting a life or having a life. And I think we know as Christians by now that you can reach the greatest levels of achievement and still be without a life. And the world is screaming right now about that. The world is hurting. The world is wounded. The world is lonely. All because the world wakes up when it comes to the end of that rainbow, that there is no pot of gold on the end. It's just frustration. And God did not come, that is Jesus Christ, to give us a life like that. He came to give us a brand new life. And so the title this morning is somewhat of an invitation to those who don't know Jesus personally, but maybe it's good for all of us Corinthians, or I mean Californians, to be reminded that God has truly given us a life. So follow along with me, if you would, as we get into part one of our study today. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, Paul says to them, therefore, you ought to circle that word, therefore, it's powerful. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Listen, church, this gets deep. This is the gospel. He has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word. He's speaking to the believer. He's given us now the word of reconciliation. That is awesome. Mark it down. First point is this today. Getting a life means this. Verse 16. That Jesus Christ has changed our minds. Will you write that down? That's what Paul's talking about. The number one thing that we want to talk about when it comes to getting a life is that our minds need to be changed. The way that we think needs to be changed. And Paul is saying, I know what that's like. He's speaking from personal experience that his mind was changed. And I'm going to put it out to you this morning as we get through the scripture in totality. Jesus Christ changes our minds if you'll let him. You say, well, what kind of a God is that if I let him? Why doesn't he just bowl me over and make me believe? I've thought about that before. As a Christian, I have thought how I'd like to just sit on people's chest, shove a Bible down their mouth, and maybe sprinkle holy water on them, which I don't know where you get holy water from, but church, listen, the number one thing that we're talking about, Paul's going to invite us, Jesus invites us, God invites us to have a personal relationship with him, and it is a relationship that is dynamic. It is alive, it is real, and it is not based upon anything that is external. God changes us. We experience a profound change. It's Jesus Christ who changes the way that we think. And there's no external thing that's going to affect that but Jesus Christ alone. And it brings us down to this. Remember the man who's talking to us under the power of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul. Do you remember the Apostle Paul was first the Pharisee named Saul? Saul's conversion, if you don't know, is the most famous conversion in all of Christianity in 2,000 years. Why? Well, listen, because of the darkness of his previous life. You see, I thought he was a Pharisee. I thought he was a leader of the Jewish religion and Judaism. He was. But out of his own mouth, he says, I was absolutely in darkness and in zeal and in passion and in self-righteousness. I not only followed my Judaism, I followed it so far that I was giving papers by the hierarchy. And I was en route to Damascus, Syria, to hunt down Christians, to capture them, and to imprison them, and to kill them. Remember, he was responsible. He was at the death of the stoning of martyr Stephen, remember? In your Bible, Acts chapter 7. He was a man that was completely given over to religion and had no problem taking out those who followed Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee of Judaism, hated Christians. And when he met Jesus Christ, his life was so radically changed, his mind was so changed, that the man was revolutionized from the inside out. And that is the difference between external religion and internal revolution. God invites you, he's begging you, as it were, to know him personally. He will not bend your arm for you to get to know him. God, our God, the God of the Bible, will not impose upon you the demand to believe. He will not make you believe. Isn't that amazing? Like I said before, I would love to make people believe by shoving a Bible in their mouth, sprinkling holy water on them, and maybe they'll get converted. That's not how it happens. You cannot, in fact, isn't it cool? A moment ago, you had your hands lifted in worship. Now, what if I were to tell you, maybe, let's say Joe is visiting for the first time. And he's mesmerized that people would care enough about God to lift their hands. What if I were to tell Joe right now, Joe, okay, yeah, you know what? We actually had little lights up here and it said, stand now, raise your hands now, cry now. Then Joe would be completely disillusioned. Isn't that true about religion? Don't you get disillusioned in religion? Because it's not authentic, it's not real. If we had applause instead of applause signs on the monitors, we had act like you're excited about God. Who would want that? Who wants to be involved in that? You see, one is externally driven, and what you saw a moment ago or what you experienced with hands lifted up, nobody told you to do that. You did it out of your own volition, out of your own choosing, your own will. And that's what blesses the heart of God. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. Relationship is you and I knowing Jesus Christ personally. It's a big difference. You need to know that. For example, there's a very radical religion that's all based upon externals, and one of those things is the call to prayer. The tower speaks and tells you to come and pray. And my argument to that is any religion that has a God that has to tell me and remind me to go pray is deficient in my opinion, because my God is always talking with me 24/7 by the minute, if you know what I'm talking about. There's a big difference. One is religion and the other one is internal. One is of man, one is of God. So Jesus Christ changes our minds, first of all, this way, verse 16, regarding people. Regarding people. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Will you mark that down? Jesus Christ changes our minds regarding people. And I'm going to get to the point of it in a moment, but I want to build up to it. Isn't it amazing that before we were Christians, we had a certain worldview, a certain belief system towards other people? For example, racism, anti-Semitism. Maybe there was a value issue in our lives that we only want to hang around certain people of means. You know what I'm talking about? If they live in a certain place, or they have so much perceived money, if not. What about this? We had a thing, and every human battles this to some degree. I don't want to be with that group. I want to be with this group. I don't want to be with that person. I want to be with this person. And you look at stuff. Look, the Bible tells us in the book of James that we are very prone to being impressed with the influence of other people. We're suckers for that. That's how we think as a non-believer. And it's a very dangerous way of thinking. In fact, the ills of the world, I think, come from that kind of thinking. A lot of people will say, well, you know, religion's dangerous because it's caused so many wars in the world. Well, let's narrow that down. True biblical Christians, I would argue the opposite with that. But have there been wars in the name of religion? Not only is it true, it's happening right now, right under our nose, mind you. Yes, it happens. But where's God in that? Where's the God of the Bible in that? And so we want to be thinking. We want to be understanding that something's going on regarding people. One of the hallmarks of being a true Christian is you will begin to love people that you didn't really even like before. Some of them could be husbands and wives. Doesn't God fix marriages? It could be moms and dads, sons and daughters. Doesn't God do an amazing work when it comes to that? Not only that, but there are people. Now, I grew up in Southern California, and racism or ethnicity was never even brought up. But this was laid back Southern California in those days. Nobody, you know, that's how California used to be. But some people are brought up in areas or in homes where it's very prejudiced. They hate blacks, or they hate whites, or they hate browns, or they hate reds. And it's all nurtured, and the child has got this in their mind. And listen, the Bible says from that foundation, that's where wars come from. And so watch this. How does a culture right now, you know, everyone's writing, you can read it online, you can get magazines off the bookshelf. Everyone's talking about the divided states of America right now. Did you know that? The divided states of America. Everybody cares about it, but no one's willing to do anything about it. Can I say that again? Because I hope it got somebody upset. Everybody's concerned about it, but nobody wants to do anything about it. Oh, what do you mean? What do you mean? This is what I mean. You remove God from the public arena, and you've got people divided. Why? Because the true Christian doesn't see somebody's ethnic background. It's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. And imagine, what's awesome about Jesus, isn't it great? The most persecuted, rejected people group in world history are the Jews. Nobody even comes close. And it is amazing that when God revealed himself to mankind, he came as a Jew. Isn't that funny? Do you think that's kind of ironic? Tells you something. So when somebody says, well, I don't believe, or I don't believe in God and all this kind of stuff, you will also see other traits that emanate out from them. One of them may be this profound separation from reaching people. And Christianity is the exact opposite of that. Christianity takes away. In fact, I like to think of it this way. We're, as Christians, we are colorblind. Or we're status blind. Jesus Christ changes our minds regarding people. And he's saying, therefore, from now on, church Bible students, mark this down. The words therefore simply but profoundly mean everything I've talked about. He's saying up until this moment, it's all foundational. This is what it results in. So we should kind of like hold our breath. As Bible students, we should be like, oh, what is it? What's he going to say? Everything I've said thus far, it's all about this. Well, what is it, Paul? He says, from now on, listen, this is a connector. Something has been proclaimed. I'm going to tell you something, but it's based on this. And here's what, in an instant, the word from now on, the word means in some instant of time, everything changed for me, says Paul. I had a view one way. I was a Jew. I was a Pharisee. I hated Christians. And I believe, like all in Judaism do, Paul would say, that Gentiles were created to fuel the flames of hell. That's why God created Gentiles, to fuel the flames of hell. That would be a Jew's thinking of that day. Paul hated non-Jews. He gets converted, and his announcement is, I regard no one any longer after the flesh anymore, because in an instant of time, something happened. And I'm wondering if you know what that instant in time thing is. It is awesome. What changes a man's mind? According to the Bible, conversion. How long does it take? Listen, class, how long does it take for you to be converted? Even instants, not fast enough. Right? The very nanosecond of thinking. The light comes on. Jesus, the very one you once cursed is now the one that you are embracing. And how does that happen? This is the glorious thing about being a Christian. Well, I'd like to sign up to be a Christian. You what? I want to sign up to be a Christian. Dude, I don't know what to tell you. You got to go, maybe go to LA Fitness, sign up over there. But you can't sign up to be a Christian. The moment you make your decision for Christ, you are instantaneously changed, and it takes as long as the Holy Spirit moving inside of your life. In an instant of time, a man's converted. The thief on the cross was converted. Paul was riding on a donkey to Damascus and met Christ and was converted in that instant. That's the issue. Yet I'm concerned in our culture. We get people so close to the moment of their minds being changed, but they don't. We need to be careful about that. When we share Christ, we need to make sure that we share all the gospel. But Paul's mind was changed concerning people. And so have our minds been changed concerning people. God wants us to love people. He wants us to care about people. And Paul is saying, listen, instead of being separated from people, a true Christian heart begins to have a burden for people. And that is an amazing thing. I'll argue this with you, that we can detonate a nuclear bomb. That's powerful. What would you say is the definition of power? Well, an atomic explosion. That's pretty powerful. It may not change anything, but it's pretty powerful, right? What's powerful? A 10.5 earthquake? That's powerful. But it's ultimately not going to change anything. Is it a Category 5 hurricane? Is that going to, that's powerful. That could wipe cities off the face of the earth. But hey, listen, I'm going to say and suggest to you, that's not powerful enough to change a person's mind. I believe that the greatest change now of absolute power has nothing to do with the physical universe. I believe now, I'm convinced now, that the greatest change of power is when a man or a woman changes their mind. Because you can detonate the universe and it won't change their mind. Are you with me? For someone to change their mind, if there's a skeptic in the house, you have to agree with me, the possibility is out there for your mind to be changed. Not me. I'm going to die a non-believer. I don't know. Because God may drop a bomb of experience on your life and whittle you down to your knees to get you to cry out to him. He loves you that much. He reaches out to you that hard if you'll resist him. Now, he won't make you believe, but he's into you. And as a believer, we should be the same way toward other people. It's very important. Listen, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you. Let this way of thinking, this mindset, this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. This is God in flesh, who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming, that is from heaven to earth, coming in the likeness of humans or mankind. God became flesh and put on a human suit and walked among us. Church, listen. How does Jesus look at people? He doesn't look at them, oh, they're white. Oh, they're black. Oh, they're... Are you hearing me? And it's wrong for us as people to do the same. It's wrong. Jesus won't do that. You know what's great? When the word of God is going out, I'm going to get in trouble. I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. When the word of God is going out and Jesus is honored and worshiped, I believe that in that setting, I hope it's here as well, that it's a little glimpse of heaven. Which means there's people from every walk of life, from every continent on the earth, and every color of skin. Are you with me? Why? Why? What would cause that palette to come together? Jesus. There's no other explanation. I was saddened, but not too long, because it's the way our nation is now, over this thing about this trial that just ended last night. I didn't follow it personally, but they were the news people. CNN was making a big deal about this. There's going to be some big ethnic war when the verdict was going to be announced. And Florida had all these police and helicopters up. They had horses out there and tear gas getting ready. Now, again, I don't know what's happened, but... it was all about the outcome could be an ethnic time bomb, explosion. And so what do we need to stop that? More laws? Are you kidding me? People don't obey the laws we have. Why write more? Military. Again, it's not going to last. Somebody needs to get down there in Florida and stand up in a milk carton and preach Christ. It's Jesus. Oh, we can't have that. Separation of church and state. Yeah, right. Preach Christ. It's Jesus. And he gives us such an example that this mind was in Christ, that he came from heaven to earth to reach out to a lost world to save sinners, to get us to heaven. That should be our way of looking at people now that we're Christians. We should not know anyone any longer after the flesh anymore. We should be looking like Paul looked, because Paul is looking like Jesus looked, that everyone you and I come in contact with, watch this, is this radical? They're either in heaven or not bound. Heaven bound or hell bound. They're either found or they're lost. Church, do you hear me? The people you're going to go rub shoulders with at Mimi's right now, or wherever you're going to go, are you going to go to the store, you're going to go to Home Depot, what are you going to do right now? It's a bunch, it all comes down to not their color, not their status, saved and lost people. Going to heaven, going to hell people. And God says, reach them. Get out there. Don't regard anyone anymore after the flesh. The saved are saved. Remember, we are sinners saved by God's grace. The lost are lost because they've not experienced the grace of God yet. Their heart, they won't open their heart yet. At least they won't yet. That's how we should look.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson simply called Get a Life. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, where Paul explains that the true believer has been reconciled to the Father. Get a Life is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because it is Wednesday, we often like to remind you here on Real Radio to join us for Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs live on his channel at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. That's every Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. Just go to hischannel.com, hischannel.com, super easy after that. Just a couple of points and clicks, and you'll be joining us for Pastor Jack's Wednesday night study. It's a great study every week. Again, that's live at 7:30 West Coast time on his channel, hischannel.com. We hope you'll join us. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.